Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. Joining us today, we have Rich Perez, who is the Vice President of Bank Innovation at Texas Bankers Association. Leading the charge on Community Bank Innovation Magnet Program and helping shepherd the future of banking initiatives, Rich brings to the table over 15 years of experience defining and delivering highly profitable and innovative products and digital solutions. He has spent the majority of his career in contract negotiations, designing and developing strategic digital solutions, researching innovative products and services to meet customer needs, and overseeing user experience enhancements. He is an established leader in building and driving user-focused, cross-functional product design and development. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Rich, I always like to start people out by kind of introducing themselves a little bit and how they got started in the financial sector. So, Rich, how did you get started in this crazy industry?
Yeah, sure. So my experience has been a bit unique in that many years ago, I actually worked as a designer for R.R. Donnelley Financial. And so that was really my first kind of taste of what was happening within this sector. And then fast forward many years later, and I spent, like you said, about 15, 16 years with Harlan Clark that turned into Veracast. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are certainly familiar with them from the check side.
Yeah.
And so that's really where we started. But, you know, I think the really exciting thing for us there was that a lot of the work that we were doing was innovative in the sense that we were selling something that wasn't always so exciting, but it was absolutely something that banks and their customers needed. And so through that, I established a lot of great relationships with many of the great banks that we still do business with today.
So remind me, Harlan, actually, you used to be able to order the checks through Harlan. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. And so I came up on the retail channels division initially. And so a lot of the group that we were working with was Checks in the Mail, if a lot of people are familiar with that very, very old brand. But they were acquired by Harlan Clark. And Harlan and Clark was actually a merger, too, like way back in the day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a lot of interesting developments that happened there over the years.
Oh, that's an interesting connection, because I remember when I used to work for the bank, like I remember our brand used to be Harlan Clark, and we used to order through the merchants. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. So then, Rich, I wanted to dig a little bit into what you're doing now, because I know you're the vice president of bank innovation. Well, what is that? I mean, what do you do? What does that entail?
No, it's a great question. So a lot of what we try to make sure we're doing for TBA was providing the banks really the different facets of what they're looking for in terms of, you know, like you mentioned, some of the contract negotiation side, and a lot of that is working closely even with the Tabasco side of TBA in terms of making sure that the banks have the proper knowledge that they might need to make some of their decisions. Go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt really quick. Tabasco, what's Tabasco?
That's a great question. It was one of those things where I thought, like, what a great, great name for a company, because I was also confused, but it's the TBA service company.
Okay.
And so that is basically the group that that Ben Bueller runs that is really operating all of our different vendors, associate members, things of that nature.
Okay. Sorry, you can go back to your question. I just wanted to make sure that we knew what that acronym was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So really just making sure that, you know, we're providing some of the knowledge that the bankers might need. And certainly as we all know, what happens with these banks of various sizes is they get to a point where they're so heads down trying to focus on their day-to-day goals that they oftentimes don't have the ability to jump out and say, okay, well, where can we make improvements? And as silly as that may sound, right, but a lot of these bankers, certainly that's something they're thinking about day-to-day. But at the same time, taking that step back to really strategize about those decisions and efficiencies that they can gain in working through, whether it be different vendors or sometimes some operations that may not exist in the you know, organization today.
Okay. So then what is your role in that process? So are you reaching out directly to these vendors? Are you reaching out directly to these bankers? How are you interacting in this process?
Absolutely. Yeah. So both, and then also a bit more in the sense that a lot of times, you know, it's this is very cliche, but we're really only as good as the communication that we're getting from our bankers. Okay. And so, you know, whether we get some of that from our surveying, and a lot of it is really just reaching out and just making sure that everybody knows that, hey, that we're here and we're able to help them in some ways that they might not be thinking about on a day-to-day side.
So then let's say you're looking for the next project, you're looking for the next thing that you're really going to develop. How do you begin that process? Is it really just sending out not a spam email, but an industry-wide email like, hey guys, we're here, don't forget about us, or how are you developing these projects that you're working on?
Sure, yeah, that's a great question. We do it in various different ways. And so sometimes it is just through some of our marketing vehicles through TBA, to your mm-hmm. point. So we always like to get out and see your report and the weekly emailings that we have. At the same time, we know that there are many bankers, especially in some of those higher positions, that are getting hundreds and hundreds of emails a day.
Yeah.
And we've heard firsthand that they say, hey, we'd love to hear about some of this. And we say like, oh, we sent an email just this last week. I'm like, yeah, I don't look at that email. And so it's a very real challenge, right, that we know that the bankers have. So what I really try to do is make sure that we are available in those channels. And maybe this goes back to some of the marketing days with Bearcast, right? But right. making sure that we're available in the channels that the bankers need us to be available in. Because we understand that there's not a golden rule for all the bankers, right? Some rely on email, some will look at just using their phones only. And then others are looking for more of updates or broadcasts on the website, as an example. But the other way that we really try to do that, Daniel, is to get out with the different committees that we have available. And so it's very common for myself to show up to as like kind of a special guest speaker, if you will.
Okay.
But for some of the committees that exist across TBA, and just really plant that seed to your point, and make sure that we're kind of the squeaky wheel, and that hey, we're really here to help you, and these are all things that are really included in your membership that you may just not be aware of today.
That makes great sense. So something before we keep digging on to that, I wanted to ask, is this unique to TBA, or do you have counterparts that are similar positions to yours across the bankers associations?
There are some similar positions. Really one of the more exciting ones that because of the collaboration that we're now working through is with ABA. Mm-hmm. And so Brick Ibarra is she's the SVP actually of innovation at the ABA. Mm-hmm. And she has some great folks on her team that we work very closely with. And are actually right now working to co-brand some of the research materials
Make
sure that we're continuing to get that word out.
Yeah, so you're even collaborating with some national wide organizations and entities.
Yeah, that's right. I would say that certainly, as Chris likes to say, Texas has been kind of trailblazing this side from a state association standpoint, and so there are some other state associations that are looking to invest some more time into getting this innovation focus within mm-hmm. their associations. So I've also been working with some of them to really just kind of help them catapult and learn from some of the things that we've learned in over the last year and a half.
Establish the new program and get people like in the positions they need to do.
Exactly. And certainly, as I always like to tell them, yes, we'll go over what's worked well, but I think equally, if not more important a lot of times, is like, we tried this and it just didn't work.
Yeah,
and I think that's really valuable.
Avoid that one. It's not gonna net you much.
Exactly.
Oh, that's perfect. It's always nice when you have a new program developed or a new program being created to have that foot in the door that you're like, look, this works, this doesn't work. Like, stay away from that. That's perfect. So then, how really do members get involved? So I know you mentioned like stopping by at some of these committees and whatnot that you're constantly trying to get in touch with different member banks and whatnot, see what we can do for them. But how can a member get involved? What can they do? Is it literally just send you an email, say, hey, I'm looking for this product, and then they're done? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. That really is the best way. Like we're actually revamping the website right now for TBA, and we're mm-hmm. looking to really put a lot more information there. Today on the magnet side, it is a bit bare bones. And it's a bit, much to your question, we have a lot of bankers that are not really understanding, like, what exactly is it helping us achieve?
Right.
Because they are interested in getting that help. But then once we have that opportunity to, like, really, if I can even just have 5-10 minutes to talk to folks, then they quickly realize even, and I hear this all the time, of like, well, I'm not the right person to talk to, but I need to connect you with my CTO or my COO. And we know that there are opportunities. So, to answer your question, really the best way is we have an email that's dedicated, and it's magnet@texasbankers.com. And that email comes to myself and a few others. And that really helps us better understand the need so we can set up a call and learn more about that opportunity.
Okay. And then just to narrow this down just one more time, what kind of email would you expect to see hit that inbox? So,
Sure.
What would you want to see from a bank to get to you?
Yeah, you know, there are several different types, and I know, you know, it's always easier when we have like one specific answer. In this case, it's really been all over the place in a great way, because sometimes it's just been, hey, I've looked all over and I just can't seem to find somebody that can help me with X, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be enough to kick off a conversation. I'd say some of the more fruitful conversations that I get quite frequently are when I start to realize the trend of several bankers that are asking for something very similar. And that's a lot of where we're leaning in right now, is to make sure that we understanding like truly what the bankers need. And I think that's really been the differentiating factor for us versus some others that are out there. And we're trying to truly focus in on what is going to help our bankers succeed in creating better customer experiences for their customer base versus going and producing something first and then kind of hoping that it helps, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, makes complete sense. So then how long have you been at TBA doing this? I'm assuming it's been a few years now.
It's just been about a year and a half.
Perfect.
So yeah, not too long, but certainly long enough to where I've learned the ways that we can continue to help the bankers that, and to your earlier comment, right? Reaching them in a way to where they understand that it truly is something we're trying to provide to help them out.
Well, a year and a half is enough to get your feet under you, really get your projects going and everything, get one or two solid projects or more, depending on your timing of projects out there. So what would you say, if it's fair to ask, what would you say your biggest projects or one of your biggest successes has been in this past year and a half? Like what have you worked on that's done something?
I'd say the biggest ones right now are that we have a couple of vendors that we have aligned with, and one of which is providing what we have. We call it a rate card service.
Okay.
And so, you know, a lot of our bankers are using that today. We have, you know, one of our bankers that's actually a co-chair on the task force that I help run.
Good. That's good.
And he mentioned that it's the best kept secret of TBA. And I told him, I was like, oh, geez, I appreciate that. But at the same time, that means that we've got to do a better job of getting the word out there, right?
Yep.
But to that point, like, you know, the rate card is something that I think we're really proud of because it's just saving the bankers a ton of time and money. And, you know, a lot of times, as we all know, not just so much the money, like, you know, if you're saving $20 an hour on supplemental staffing, as an example, then that goes a long way, yes. Yeah. But if it's saving your staff 40 hours and finding the right resource and onboarding, then that's sometimes even more important, I think, to the bank. So that's certainly one of them. And then I'd say the other one is that what we're really starting to do and lean into with our partnerships. And so certainly one of those being ABA, but we're really excited, as was mentioned at convention from Chris, that there's just a ton of opportunity there for us to continue to collaborate and provide more scale for the bankers as we're looking for these solutions.
Right. That's perfect. So then when we were talking before the podcast, you had mentioned something called the product development board. What is the product development board?
Yeah, so I think, you know, what we're really trying to establish there is it's kind of hinging on the success of going to the bankers and asking first what they need. And that's a lot of what we're trying to do is when we have these bankers that are coming in. And many times, and we love if there's a relationship already with a vendor that has been with TBA for, you know, a long time and has established themselves as a top tier provider, then certainly like with a quick handoff to Tabasco and saying like, here's the person you should be working with, right? Mm-hmm. Hands down, they're the best to work with.
Yeah.
To your point, I think what we're getting through a lot of the new collaborations that we have is understanding that sometimes there's not a provider out there or there's not a solution out there from any existing vendors, mm-hmm. not just within the TBA network, but at large, that are really giving us exactly what we need to make the bank successful. And so to your point, like that's what we're really excited about is if we can go in and establish that, those kind of terms of saying, okay, well, tell us exactly what you need. And then we start pulling together other banks that have similar needs and similar tech structure, tech infrastructure, mm-hmm. things like that. Then it enables us to go back and say, okay, well, we have vendors that are interested in building, or would we like to get the banks together and possibly build some of this together as a team and understand, like, you know, what can really be reused and repurposed. So that's really what we're trying to do with that side of it. And it's a really exciting time for what we're doing with Magnet.
So really, really, it's an opportunity for banks to get together, have their voices heard, let them say like, hey, look, this is what we're looking for. And then you take that back to the vendors. You say, Mr. and Mrs. Vendor, like, this is what our banks want. If you're willing to build a product around it, willing to develop the features and whatnot, then we can go back and you can ultimately generate potentially for the vendor more sales from that. But the banks get what they're looking for.
That's exactly right. I mean, first and foremost is certainly putting the bank's needs right in front of us as our goal. But to your point, what we've learned through this is that when you find the right vendors, that they're hungry for more, right? Because, you know, what I would say is that a lot of what we're finding right now is that while there are vendors that might have solutions available for banks of this size and larger, a lot of times what happens is they end up forgetting some of the smaller banks that are certainly, those are members that we care about just as much as the big guys, right? And I think that's what really makes DDA special. So by focusing in on those needs and understanding that, yes, that might be something that maybe a large vendor doesn't have an appetite for on one-offs, but if we bring that group together, then as you might imagine, suddenly they say, hey, this is a market worth looking into.
There's more than one person.
Exactly.
So then you talked about having the right vendor. So what are the processes that you go through when it comes to working with these vendors? Like what are you looking for? Are you just looking at existing vendors? Are you considering new vendors? What's your process around that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question too. So we do always start with looking to our internal vendor base first. And there are many great vendors there already. That's why so many of them are established through Tabasco. At the same time, you're absolutely right in that a lot of times we have to look outside of that. And many times I would say, and it's really the roots of where Magnet and that brand was created for TBA, is the whole idea is that we're attracting not only the banks and the members to come to us to work together to create something great and new, but also attracting the vendor base.
Okay.
And so that's a lot of what we've seen lately too, right? Is that we'll have vendors that it's almost like a reverse cold call. Like they're reaching out to us and saying, hey, we're interested in helping you guys out. We know that there's an underserved market here with some of these banks, and how can we help?
Yeah.
And so it really is a combination of how we've found those different vendors. But I think that it makes for some healthy competition as well. And that's also going to continue to help us, you know, continue to serve those primary needs of our bankers.
So really, it's a good opportunity for banks to not have to worry about pounding the conferences, digging through all the different vendors at the conferences. It's a way that pretty much someone can pre-filter or pre-screen some of those things between Tabasco and what you're doing to really develop not only the vendors, but the products and features and services that banks are going to be looking for.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And, you know, like anything else that's out there today, especially in the world of like generative AI, right? It's somewhat what we're doing here is we're trying to aggregate all of these different data points from all of the different bankers that we work with. Mm-hmm. And so that way we establish exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, really what we believe is not only a set of top tier vendors that already exist within TBA, but also those that we're going to continue to nurture new relationships with and build something anew.
Well, that's really exciting because this is such an interesting age to be in the financial sector. Because I mean, just with the introduction of AI kind of to banking, I know that there's been a lot of conversation around that and a lot of conversation of how it's going to integrate into banking and what elements it's going to play. So that is very interesting. So then the last real question I want to pose to you is what is it that makes an effective vendor? Like what, I know we talk a lot about what we're looking for and how we start, but what is a quality vendor to you that when you've got this problem, you've sat down, you've met with bankers, you've talked with bankers, they come forward with what they're looking for, and then you go out looking for a vendor. What is it that makes the vendor you select the vendor you select? What about it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I will say that I used to think that maybe it was only existing in fintech startups, or maybe it was only existing, some of the qualities only existing in like the larger corporations that are worldwide. And I've come to realize it's actually neither of those.
Okay.
Like the qualities that really matter, and this is going to sound very cliche, but I truly mean it, is working with those vendors that actually put the banker's needs and their customers first. Because that's where we continue to see, like those are the people that are hungry to really solve problems and are less interested in like getting that quick return on their investment.
Yeah.
And more interested in like, hey, if we solve these problems, all the good stuff's going to come in after that. And that's really what we've seen and proven. And I think that's why, you know, if I had to guess, that's why we're having some of the successes we are with working with some of these strategic vendors that are truly buying into what we're trying to provide for the banks.
So this is going to come just purely from me because I look at it from the legal perspective and everything. But how do you do that through negotiations? Because I mean, in your position, you do contract negotiations, right? How do you reflect the needs of the banks inside of the contracts that you're developing?
Yeah, I mean, it can be tricky at times. You're right, because you know a lot of times what we're kind of discussing in terms of the North Star will get a little bit jaded as you get into the red lines, if you will.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, I think that, you know, what we've seen is that as long as we're keeping our collective minds and we've done a pretty good job of like sniffing that out early on to where like, you know, because certainly you're up sometimes to get into an area to where you get into the red lines and now you've got to shift. And we're like, well, this right here doesn't stay at all what we've been talking about for the last 30 days. Right. But I think that, you know, we've done a pretty good job of making sure that we're having those right conversations early on. So by the time we get down to negotiations, we're in a pretty good place. Yeah.
That's perfect. Perfect. Well, Rich, unfortunately, we are running out of time, but I do want to give you the opportunity. I ask pretty much all my guests this. If you could give one piece of advice to banks today. So most of our audience is going to be some of your small and your mid-sized banks. So keeping that in mind, if you could give one piece of advice to banks today, what piece of advice would you give?
Yeah, I think, you know, this will also sound very scripted, and it's clearly not, is that just always be hungry, right? I mean, there's so much information out there, and really, like, whether it's working with us or whether it's going online and just kind of learning about what opportunities exist, there are so many opportunities to continue to improve, whether it be through efficiencies or new technical solutions. So that's what I'd say, is just like, you know, continue to reach out, talk to your peers, give us a call. We can certainly lead you in the right direction.
I love that. That's perfect. Well, Rich, thank you very much for joining us for today's episode of Banking Matters.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
For the rest of our guests listening in, that's Banking Matters.